Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin, Familia NFL Insider Series. We're rounding third. We're rounding third, headed for home. Still the last five or six to go before we before close up shop and really, really get ready for the season. So, Familia, want to make sure you're giving us a like and subscribe. If this is the first one of these that you're watching, hey, go back and watch the other ones. There's still a few more to go, but I've got a playlist that's all set aside. It's got everything on there, every single interview on there with so much great information. Also, make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. You're going to get matched up to the first $100. First, you put in $100, they're going to match you $100. It's best ball season, Familia. This is some of the best times. Pomeranian drafts are out there for only $3. So, you know, puppies, best ball mania, where you get, you know, for $25, you got a shot at $3 million. Get in there and make sure promo code FAMILIA23. So Familia, you know what? This is not the first time for our invitada to come on and talk fantasy football with me on Familia FFP, but it's the first time we're talking specifically about the team that she is dedicated to. Kelly Singh, our amiga, she's the VP of marketing at Trophy Smack. She is also the host of the Sick Podcast with Kelly Singh, where she dives into all the goodness that comes with, and some of the not so goodness, but we'll get into that, that comes with the Arizona Cardinals. So, mi amiga, Kelly, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I love being here. Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias, buenos dias. Yeah, and, you know, it's nice and toasty in both our necks of the woods. But, I want to ask first off a new question. New coaching staff, Jonathan Gannon coming on, Drew Petzing coming on. What are kind of the vibes you're hearing for anything that they're looking to do with the offense?
Basically, what we're hearing is a whole retooling of the offense, and I think you can't help but want that. And who else to do it better than, I'd say, Jonathan Gannon, to be honest. You come off of the Eagles Super Bowl and come on over to Arizona, where we're in complete rebuild mode, bringing people that you trust, cleaning house, and really just getting ready for a fresh start.
Oh, well, and the fresh start's going to be a little bit difficult because Kyler Murray is not going to be there. Suffered a torn ACL in December last year, had his surgery on January 3rd. So I just did a recent interview with Dr. Edwin Porras, and Kyler was one of the guys that we talked about. And he said that quarterbacks usually, they can come back a little sooner because, you know, some don't need to rely on their legs. He does. So he's giving like a 9 to 10 month time frame. Starting the season with Colt McCoy, and transitioning to Kyler Murray eventually during the season. What's the outlook for kind of like what the passing game is going to look like?
What I find super interesting is that Kyler Murray keeps, I don't know if he's perpetuating these rumors that he wants to be ready by week one. I don't see the Cardinals office saying, yeah, let's put our investment on the field week one. So that rumor, let's just squash that. That's not happening. Colt McCoy, here's another interesting storyline. Colt McCoy is not guaranteed the starting position, actually. And there's been a huge, big buzz around Clayton Toon, the rookie drafted by the Cardinals in this recent draft. Clayton Toon is showing extreme potential, with some writers even saying that he could be best in class, which to me seems wild because I never even heard the name Clayton Toon until I started doing research for my podcast last week and seeing what is all this buzz about. But apparently Clayton Toon's giving Colt McCoy a run for his money, let alone David Blau, who was my personal favorite. If you have Colt McCoy shares, don't be worried. He's probably, I would say, definitely going to play. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Clayton Toon getting a chance, especially in the preseason games, at seeing what he can do. I'm heading out to training camp Thursday when they open up for us to get my own sneak peek.
Oh, awesome. You know, and one of the things, once Kyler Murray got hurt when he got hurt last year, the team didn't fall off a cliff. I mean, Colt McCoy was fairly serviceable. When it comes to, let's say, I mean, you're going to get a bird's eye view of it sooner rather than later, starting on Thursday. But assuming, let's not assume because we know what happens when, kind of looking in the crystal ball and picturing that Colt McCoy is the guy, what does that do for Hollywood Brown, who is really, I mean, he looks like he's the target hog right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's basically the only target, I would say, at this point this season. We do have Rondale Moore, who apparently is healthy and ready to go. But, you know, he's in the slot, and it seems like Colt McCoy prefers to throw there to the outside. So I would say we're going to see more plays with Hollywood Brown. However, taking all of this in stride, because Kingsbury's preference in offense was to throw the same exact pass to either DeAndre Hopkins or Hollywood Brown to the sideline. So maybe we won't see that this season. However, that doesn't mean really a whole lot as far as fantasy production. I think Hollywood Brown is still going to get the receptions necessary, especially when you're really the only viable reception option on the team. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see those plays shaken up. There was a lot on Twitter comparisons of like year over year over year and the same exact play going to the outside, never really changing. I don't know if that's a lack of imagination or just, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of vibe. But I would have a hard time seeing this new coaching staff come in and not shake things up.
What do you see them being, you know, bringing some of the Philadelphia concepts? Obviously, you don't have that with Colt McCoy, but some of the rushing does come into play when Kyler Murray comes in.
Yeah, I would definitely see that happening once Kyler Murray comes back into play, that they would adapt some of the same things that worked for them in Philadelphia. They could work in Arizona as well, especially, you know, with Hollywood Brown being one of our receivers. He was a top receiver for the Ravens one year he was there. Not by much, just by like 60-some yards to my boyfriend, Mark Andrews. But he is a talented receiver, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see them adapt some of those Eagles-like plays here in Arizona.
And, you know, there was some buzz during the Senior Bowl for Michael Wilson. And obviously he's a player that the Cardinals picked, a bigger target. Is he someone to keep an eye on?
I actually haven't heard a ton about Michael Wilson, but everybody at this point, I think, is a viable option, especially when you don't have your regular quarterback. To me, as a fan watching on the sidelines, when you see a play unravel, you know it's unraveled, and he's looking for any open target at that point, any open option, whether it's rushing, passing, QB sneak, laying down on the ground and crying. I don't know.
Hey, that's there were points that let me tell you something. On Christmas night, I wanted to lay down and cry when I kept seeing DeAndre Hopkins getting like overthrown almost every single opportunity. Oh, bad, yeah. Bad juju.
And that
there
goes along with the defense even being able to predict that that was going to happen. So yeah, there's definitely need for a shakeup. There's a need to utilize new players, different players, new plays, and I'm hoping we'll see that.
So on before we get into the running back situation, the tight end situation, Zach Ertz is still rehabbing a torn ACL, which, I mean, that could bleed into the season. Does that open a door for Trey McBride a little bit coming into his second year?
Yeah, excuse me. I was thinking and swallowing at the same time. Yes, for sure. I absolutely think that opens up the door for Trey McBride. I I wouldn't be surprised even when Zach Ertz comes back if they're going to try even a two tight end position. That's been very viable for many teams. And if you have two strong tight ends, that works out well. But yeah, if Zach Ertz is not going to be refreshed in time for the start of the season, I think we'll for sure see a lot more of Trey McBride, especially like we've talked about on just the receiving situation, outside of even just blocking. But yeah, we're going to need every receiver, all hands on deck, everybody be ready.
Well, being ready, James Conner. I think a lot of people expected that he was going to get some company in the NFL draft. Didn't come. Nothing in free agency. I think there are a lot of people have had a lot of worry about him as far as durability is concerned. But you know, he did play 13 games last year, and he was one of the touchdown leaders the year before. Could he do it again? And who might be his top backup?
Yeah, he definitely could do it again. I think he's not out yet. Durability is definitely an issue, but James Conner is one that has shown, at least to me, that he bounces back. He's in there. He's got that dog in him, as the kids like to say. As far as any competition, I would say Tyson Williams. They're saying a lot about him coming up. I'm not so sure about that, but it's nice to think about. As far as running backs, I got the feeling the Cardinals are waiting until the 2024 draft. In that sense, that might just be me, but why, if you're not going to fill the position this year, if you're not going to at least bolster the position this year, and they're stacking all of those draft picks, this is a true rebuilding year. They obviously have to go out there and play. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to perform. Nobody wants to lose. But at the same time, you can only do what you can do. And then you look ahead to the next year and you have all of these picks. I can't help but think one of those, if not two of those 2024 picks, could be used in that position.
No, absolutely. I could see that. I mean, when guys are on 1-year contracts, that's the only thing you can look at that point. So,
right.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, and the thing with Conner, he's going late enough in drafts where he's not necessarily going to be your number one running back or maybe not even your number two running back. I mean, who maybe you're, you know, one of your top two running backs if you're going with the zero RB build. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, I mean, ride him till the wheels fall off.
I mean, yeah. Last year, if you played him as one of your top running backs, you didn't do terribly other than the missed games there, 6, 7, and 8. I'm just taking a little peek here. But he was definitely scoring double-digit fantasy points, well above 20 most weeks. So that's pretty solid for, you know, somebody who's done a zero RB build. This year, we really don't know, except that Colt McCoy actually was quarterback in the majority of these really high scoring games for James Conner. So maybe you do scoop him up and rely on him, because we're talking 26, 22, 28, 20. Oh, I skipped another 28. Those are big weeks. So I would be happy.
Well, let's ride that caballo. Any sleepers that you can see other than players that we might not have talked about?
I mean, if you get in there and I'm seeing Clayton Tune available in pretty much all of my leagues, I might pick him up just to see what happens. Because another thing that we might want to think about is, even when Kyler Murray comes back, is Kyler Murray the guy? Are we rehabbing him to be healthy enough to trade to a team, to pick up another quarterback, to groom somebody like Clayton Tune to be the guy? It feels bad to say because I love Kyler Murray, but it seems like it was yesterday that we got him, but it hasn't been. Yeah. It's been 5 years, and that is a very long time to have not made very much progress. So part of me is thinking, grab someone like Clayton Tune, especially in your dynasty leagues. I would still hold on to your Rondale Moores. I think there is hope for him this season if he's not made of glass and manages to stay on the field, because that guy, if you saw any of my training camp videos from his, not last season, but two seasons ago, his rookie season, it was explosive. It was just so fun to watch. The punt returns, outside of punt returns, those were fun to watch, but just watching him scoot through the slot 10 yards easy on anybody. And I just want to see that again.
I'd love to see that. I think it was Scott Fish even said that the Rondale Moore changes direction like a squirrel. So
it's so wild.
Yeah.
He's fast.
He's one of those guys you just wish for health. Just wish for health. I had him a lot last year, and I'm really trying hard not to feed myself with the he's injury prone. He's not. It's like, just treat every season like a new season. So a couple other things to ask about. I wanted to get the kind of like the state of the offensive line. Obviously it's going to be very important, especially when Kyler Murray comes back from his knee injury, to keep him clean as much as possible. How's that group shaping up?
It's not in great shape.
Yeah, I was worried about that. Worried about that. Oh,
not in great shape. No. And that's another area where I feel like they did what they could to we took a huge hit across the entire team this year between retirements and trades, and the hopes of trades even. So the O-line's another area where I feel like, you know, they're making some adjustments this season, but it's going to be another one in that 2024 draft, which is why they really are piling up those picks. They want to move forward and build new. Like we kicked off the show, it's almost a clean slate. And it's not this year, and it may not be next year.
Wow.
But it's, you know, next year would be great if you get the final pieces to fill it in. But then what happens with guys like Buda Baker who want to be traded? Will they hang on another year? Can they hang on another year? There's just so much influx right now that it's like that baseball movie Major League.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like the ragtag group that surprises everybody. I don't think it'll be this year, but it could be next year. And they're like, hey, we got all the pieces we need. Let's do this. Let's go out there and prove something. But it's going to be fun to watch regardless.
Oh, awesome. So I love this next question, because you are very much a DFS player and someone who puts out DFS content. And I always like to ask kind of like the state of the defense first against the run and against the pass, to see about like how can we attack this defense? And it's a defense that was pretty forgiving last year. What's kind of the how do they shape up against both?
I don't think we're going to see anything miraculous this year on defense either. I do think that we do much better against the pass than against the run, with faster guys coming around trying to, you know, take down the quarterback. But yeah, I am not too excited about our defense either this year. It may be one of the worst, sadly. Mm.
That, you know,
I hate
what,
saying that. I hate it.
You know what? But how can you not be honest? And honestly, it's something that I looked at. I mean, you're giving me the confirmation that I already that I was kind of expecting, but you're kind of answering a lot of questions. I mean, to me, I look at this as a defense that I'm targeting. I look at this is the reason why I like Philadelphia Eagles, because they play the Cardinals go to Philadelphia for week 17, you're kind of looking at that for, you know, for underdog picks. And honestly, I'm always looking ahead to the playoffs. And that to me is a team to target, you know, because of the fact that that this is a defense that is going to be kind of porous. Another reason why I like the Seahawks this year, because they get to face this defense twice. So, yeah.
Rivalry. Yeah, but as far as sports betting goes, I would definitely be putting my money on teams playing the Cardinals this year, especially when I love to do the rivalry matchups too. Oh. In the pick'em section there, the rivalries. I think that could be a really profitable area each week as well. I hate betting against my own team. There may be opportunities where we will get some matchups that we just know, like Marquise Brown may be a great rivalry matchup week to week against somebody. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's going to be tough when you're playing Cardinals, DFS, underdog, any kind of pick'em.
I do. You know what? That's the thing. I do like Brown a lot this year, because I think there's going to be some shootouts and they're going to mm-hmm. have to pass to catch up or keep up. So, I like that. All right. So Kelly, last one's fun one. And we talked Mexican food last time when you were on during the season last year, but I didn't ask you this. You have a, kind of like a dual living situation. You spend some of your time in Southern California with trophies, you know, near Trophy Smack. And you also spend some time, you know, cause you are Kelly in Phoenix. can you give me a dish, a Mexican food dish that you really, really like that's specific to each city?
Oh my gosh. That is really hard to be specific to each
city. Or if you have a favorite.
Well, I have a favorite when I am in California. So our office is in the city of Orange, and my apartment is in Old Town Orange, which Old Town Orange is kind of hipstery. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there's a lot of flavor there, but once we get into Orange, there's this place on the corner across from the office called Paul's Place, and they make the best chorizo burrito imaginable. And I will cut that bad boy in half and eat it again the next day or even for dinner. I am a sucker for a fantastic chorizo burrito. Oh. Here in Phoenix, I mean, we have a place called Valley Luna, which is a family-owned restaurant, and I love their machaca tacos. I can't get enough of them. And some people, you might have to help me with this, torn over, is a deep-fried shell an actual taco? People are saying no, the deep-fried shell is not. It has to be a street taco, a soft. Well, the deep-fried machaca taco at Valley Luna is my very favorite dish by far, and I eat there far too often when I'm back home.
All right, so I'm going to answer the question: Is a deep fried taco a taco? Yes, in fact, that it is. In some parts of Mexico, that's the authentic way to create a taco. My mom makes fantastic fried taco that is just, you know, she just puts potatoes and beans and it's just heaven. It's heaven. Sometimes you put a little shredded beef in there. Yeah. But honestly, it's just if you make it just simple, then you add some salsa and everything. It's fantastic. So yeah, it's called Tacos Dorados. So anybody who has a question over that, you send them my way and I'll send them straight for you. So yes, I mean, street tacos are still fantastic. I love those. I love all kind of tacos. But yes, let's not be discriminating, familia. Yeah. Taco's a taco. Deep fried, street taco. All of them. Oh, my goodness.
Stuff it with cheese and all of the fresh things, too.
Little cilantro, a little onion and cilantro. I tell you, and also the tacos that Trophy Smack had at the Scott Fishbowl draft. Yeah, fantastic. There was,
those were good.
Nothing like having sharing tacos with Scott Fish himself. So, fantastic. And this has been great, Kelly. Kelly, please pump anything you got coming up.
Oh my gosh. I think the thing I'm most excited about coming up is in August, Women of Fantasy Football hosts 4 weeks of interviews with women in media, sports media, kicking off August 9th with the most amazing, unbelievable, unattainable guest. And somehow I asked and she said, yes, I cannot tell you who it is, but you will not want to miss this interview August 9th with a very special women in fantasy football, woman in sports. You're going to faint. I'm going to try not to faint. I'm very excited about that. And then Thursdays coming up here with the season kicking off, we have the Sneaky Girls Flex, which is a 15-minute segment I host on Club Fantasy's YouTube with two very special little girls that belong to Dave Fantasy, Maisie and Rowan. I've been working with them the last couple of years in fantasy football, and they're only 8. So tune in and hear who the sneaky girls favor in a quick 15-minute lighthearted segment, if only to make your day feel that much better.
I tell you, you can't watch that episode without just breaking out in a monster smile by the end. And you laugh. They're, at some point, they're going to say something to just crack you up. So, yes, I don't know how you keep a straight face. It's gotta be.
Sometimes I cannot, especially one of our last episodes of the season last year. One of the girls whispers to the other, "You smell like pee." My goodness. They were only 7 at the time. But I just was, I'm like, and we're live.
Oh my goodness, mi amiga, thank you so much for doing this. And thank you, we're doing this on in the morning, and I think we both got a great belly laugh out of it to get the day started. So thank you again for doing this. And familia, thank you for joining us. Make sure again you're following us on YouTube. Set your notifications up, go to the playlist. Any episodes that you've missed, check them out, because this is some of the best information, just like you got from Kelly right now. Honest, truthful, and actionable for the coming season. And also make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. Get matched up to the first $100. So that's it for me, familia. You can find our guests, our invitada here, at Kelly and Phoenix on Twitter. And don't forget the Sick Podcast with Kelly Singh. Check that out. Set the follow up. Get the information for the Cardinals coming up for the coming season. I'm Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. Familia FFP everywhere else. Go to familiafp.com. I'll have some content here and there. So once again, muchas gracias for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.